as we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. It is first important to mention that we're not going to continue our series today. We will next week on the spiritual disciplines, practices, and holy habits of the faith, how to cultivate them, what they are, what does it mean to actually live them out in our life. But we're going to turn to Psalm 145 again, to our call to worship, verses 4 through 7, as there were some beautiful lessons that all of us can learn from this passage that many of us who went to Orlando these past couple of weeks ago learned. Three lessons in particular that we'll be talking about. Before we do any of that, I want you to open your Bibles. If you have an actual printed Bible, great. If not, open your phones and scroll there. There is something about doing that that opens our minds and hearts to what God is doing in this moment. And we need to be preparing our hearts each and every week when we come to this place to hear the Word of God. Not because I'm up here talking, but because God is going to speak. Whether it be through me, through your neighbor, or through your own Bible, God is going to speak. Do we believe that? Because we all need to take a moment to prepare our hearts. And for those who need this time, I invite you, let's just take a deep breath in and now out. And we're going to do that one more time. And we're going to practice one of those spiritual disciplines we've been talking about for several weeks, contemplation. Think about what it is we are doing in this moment. We are about ready to read the Word of God together and to see what it has to say to us, to see what it demands of us today. Can we just take the gravity of this moment in? Great Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, seeking your guidance and wisdom. We thank you for these moments when you come and edify us, and we get to do that for one another through your word and be shaped by your word. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, speak in power through your word. Jesus, our Lord, help us to be drawn closer to you and grow more in a relationship with you. Amen. With this being said and prayed, our minds fixed on Jesus, we'll turn to the 145th Psalm, verses 4 through 7. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the flame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. This is our text from this past week at the International Youth Convention, and will be our text today, starting with verse 4, where it says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts, which is where our very first word of admonishment, encouragement, and commission are given. Our first lesson in particular is that the youth are not the future of the church, as many would express. They're not the future, and in fact, it's an insult to call them the future, because they are the church. Right here, right now, they are the church. They are a part of the body, and they are functioning within the body to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to cause his kingdom to break through here on heaven as it is in here on earth as it is in heaven. They're doing it. Sharing their gifts and talents like Josie. Leading us in worship and praise. Like Jackson running the slides in the tech castle. Like Sonia out in the foyer today giving everyone hugs and welcoming them and greeting them. Like Kelly and her whole household with Jaden and crew making these beautiful, beautiful desserts that we get to share and fellowship over. Andrew and Madison playing instruments and being willing and open to be used by God anywhere and everywhere. Each and every one of them, even if I didn't mention you, I know are moving and working somewhere within the body. Thank you, because you are the church today. Not some distant future. You are the church today. And Ephesians 2:10 applies just as much for you as any other adult that says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In this, can we not see Psalm 145:4 works both ways intergenerationally? One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Generation to generation, generation to generation, declaring the wondrous works and mighty acts of God. So often we look to those who are young as those who they just need to be taught. They need to be more mature. They need to be more like us. Do we really want them to be like us? Let's just really think about that for a second. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we're living in such a way where we can say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Because that is our calling as grownups. To bring on those, not just who are younger than us, but those who are younger in the faith than us. To take them under our wing and to teach them all that he has commanded us. One generation to the next, understanding that they have just as much to give as any one of us has to give to his kingdom. The very same Spirit of God that is upon you is upon them. Moving in power and working in their lives. I don't know if you haven't noticed, but I surely have noticed this past year how they have grown so much as a product of how God has been moving in our youth, Pastor Danny, and his entire youth crew. I know that all of them aren't here right now, but if you're one of our youth leaders, would you please stand? You're here, so you guys got to stand up. I'm gonna embarrass you guys. Can we just praise God for these people right now? Thank you for the sacrifices you are making. It shows. These kids' lives are being changed, and they are being changed for the better. The reality is we all need to be taught. We all need to grow in maturity, and we all have something to learn from one another. Not all of us have the same journeys. Not all of us have walked the same paths. And we have just as much to learn from the generations that come after us as we do from the generations that went before us. Generation to generation shall commend your works, the word says. Shall commend. That's a word we don't use very often, commend. It literally means to praise. Generations, one generation shall praise your works to another, as this is what David's saying here, and shall declare your mighty acts. We are all the body of Christ. And if we truly want to live out verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works I will meditate, we need one another to share our stories. We need one another to share of those glorious splendors of his majesty and the wondrous works that he is doing. We need to share our stories, which is the next lesson that we can learn and take away, whether we went to Orlando or not. Their story matters, just like yours. Your story matters. They need your story. They need to hear of how God has worked in your life so that whenever the dark night of the soul comes upon them, when they are facing adversity, which they are facing, you don't have to look far to see that the youth of today's world are facing extreme pressures. I mean, just social media alone. Could you imagine growing up in an age of social media? It's crushing. It's devastating, and it's difficult. And they need you, a light, a voice of encouragement and hope in their lives, just like we need them. I don't know what happened inside of you when you were watching those testimonies. When you're hearing them say, you know, "I'm committing to being more and more faithful to Jesus. I'm committing to use my gifts and talents for his kingdom." I'm, all these commitments they've made. I don't know about you, but it causes my heart to leap for joy.
to see those posters that they, all these students, 2,400 students, walking back to these five little posters. Let me tell you, that took a while to happen. And they're all signing where they're going to commit to being more like Jesus, being an ambassador, living out their life's purpose. And I mean, it was just amazing to see what God was doing. We need to hear those stories. And let me tell you something, you're going to be hearing a lot more. That's just the start of it. I was talking to Pastor Danny before we even went on the trip, how the youth are planning to do a fasting and worship night. And that whole point is to seek the presence of God so that they could go downtown Exeter and be a light and be salt right here in Exeter, California. And how they're going to be doing that together as a group. And it's just, they're going to be doing things. I know he has plans. They're going to be doing things as a youth group I don't think any other youth group here in town are doing. They're going to be doing things that I would say 95% even aren't doing throughout our country. Because they're taking what they've learned and they're going to launch off of it. They're going to grow from it. They're going to keep on keeping on. And that's what their stories do for us. They help us keep on keeping on because we see them. And we know that, wow, I remember what it was like whenever I was that age. You don't have to be that age to be used by Jesus, though. And as we share our stories and they share their stories, we together as a family grow together and with one another. And they, as it says in verse 6, shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and I shall sing aloud of your righteousness. We together as one family get to join with the chorus of the saints, singing and proclaiming the goodness of God, the wondrous splendor of his majesty, sharing in those wonderful testimonies. Testimonies which we're going to hear a lot more of in the coming futures. Testimonies that shouldn't just be a one-time thing after we take a long trip, but should be a weekly thing. What are you praising God for today? Be prepared to answer that question. What are you praising God for what he did this past week? Because we need to be sharing that. We need to hear your stories just like we heard their stories. I'll tell you, these kids are really leaning into being the transformation of our city right now through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one disciple at a time, which is our vision. As they grow in knowing Christ and making, they're going to make him known, our mission. They're breaking new ground. They're storming the gates of hell. And that's what they're going to do. And they need you. They need your prayers. Because the third lesson we can learn from this past week, all of us can learn, is this is only the beginning. This isn't the end. It's not over. It's just starting now. And there's no one more equipped in this room to reach the next generation than them. I don't know about you, but I'm not 17 anymore. I love how that one speaker said, I'm not 17 anymore, and couldn't you tell? that was a funny moment. I'm not. None of us are 17 anymore as much as we'd like to be. They are. And they're able to communicate and speak in a way that none of us can. And we need to spur them on, to keep on keeping on. Because as one of them said in their testimony video, you know, the devil's going to attack them. He doesn't want what happened in Orlando. In fact, the moment I got back, the attack was on full scale. I know it hit me even. It's been coming at me every day. And I know it's been coming after you guys. Church, we need to stand behind these students. We need to stand with them. They need you. Because this is only the beginning. And more importantly, they just don't need you. They need your example. Paul says to imitate me as I imitate Christ. He says that you should imitate me as I
imitate Christ. I am an imitator of Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Can any one of us dare to say that? And if we can't, what needs to change in our lives today so we can? And we can come along those who are around us and be that city on a hill, that light that no one can put out. That we can walk alongside these young people and reclaim what hell has stolen. Living out the Great Commission to make more and better disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to command all that He has shown us, all that He's instructed of us, all that He has commanded of us, teaching them to obey all that He's commanded of us. And whether you've been a Christian for 1 minute or 70 years, you have something to teach. You have something to give to God's kingdom, and you have something to give to everyone else in this room because you have received Jesus, remembering that your story matters and is fuel in the tank for us to all keep on keeping on. Sadly, in today's world, though, we don't do this. We don't walk alongside others. We don't intentionally try to be disciple makers, and this takes intentionality. It takes you being intentional and actually making effort, and it's not easy, but it's so worth it. To walk alongside someone, to encourage them, to spur them on to love and good deeds, to encourage them in their commitment. These students are going to need encouragement. They're going to need someone to come to them and say, hey, you committed to doing this. How's that going? You wanted to read the Bible more. How are you doing that right now? And sadly, we don't do that in today's world. Rather, we try to outsource it in the church. Just like I talked about a couple weeks ago, you can't outsource the faith. You can't pay a professional to do it for you. Myself and Pastor Danny only have so much capacity. We can only talk on the phone so many hours a day. We can only visit with so many people in a day. God gave us His body, each and every one of us, that when every piece and function is working together, beautiful things happen, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need to take that responsibility to build one another up, to no longer outsource it, understanding that, yes, pastors, clergy, they have their place, they have their purpose, they have their role, but so do you. Each and every one of us have our purpose in place to do this wonderful work, to build up His body, to bring us all closer and closer to Jesus, so that we would share in the majestic splendor and wondrous works of God, generation to generation, praising God for all He is and for all He has done, walking alongside one another, committing to invest and continue to invest in one another's life. We talk a lot about cost, and I said this already once, I'm going to say it again. This costs that, that costs this. We always talk about cost when it comes to ministry. We get so analytical and we get business-like sometimes, and it's a tragedy. What if instead of talking about cost with ministry, we started talking about investment? That we are making investments in the kingdom. What about instead of worrying about losing talents and hiding them, we decided to at least invest in them so that God would receive the interest? You guys made a big investment a couple weeks ago. Don't let that stop now. Keep on investing. And I don't normally do things like this, and if you're a guest, I want you to know you're exempt. I want to challenge you today to invest in these young people, to keep on investing in them, not just with your money, but with your time and your wisdom in your walk with Christ. I want you to commit to keep on investing in Pastor Danny, standing behind him and his wonderful wife, Audrey, as they lead our young people and continue to sow seeds that could be grown into a crop that will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold like it just did these past couple of weeks. This is only the beginning. If we stop here, we won't finish. The race is still ahead of us. And if you would be willing to keep committing, if you would be willing to keep investing, and once again, our guests are exempt, would you stand with me? Because I commit to continue to invest in their lives. No matter what it takes. Youth, I want you to not look at, well, who's standing, who's not standing. Some people may not be able to stand right now. I know that can be my problem when I sit down for a long time. I want you to look at all those who are here for you. We're here for you. In the good, in the bad, in the ugly. You can be seated.